We're indeed happy to have everyone with us this morning. And I noticed that we have some visitors. We're always happy to have visitors. And we invite you to come back to Redland Road at every opportunity that you have. And if you're visiting with us because you have moved to this community, then we hope that you'll look us over real good and decide that this is the place where you want to be with the family of God. Today I want to talk to you about one of the most awesome privileges that's been bestowed upon me on earth. The great and the wonderful and the towering privilege of telling you and telling the whole world of what it means to belong to the Lord's church. When we study the history of the church, some of the dearest stories that you'll ever read, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Some of the dearest stories that you'll ever read is what the church meant and what it was valued at by the early church members who went to their death singing the hymns of Zion. I feel that there's no way that I can express in words what the value of the church is to the Lord God of heaven and to every faithful member of the church that's lived upon earth. Yet at the same time, some have a terribly marred conception of what it means to belong to the church. Some misunderstand it completely. Some have degraded it. And some have reduced it to meaningless. A few years ago, some made the phrase popular, Jesus yes, but the church no. The people who were saying that were inflicted with the disease that those who were called themselves instructors of the Bible had afflicted upon them. They really knew little of what the Bible says about it. Because if they knew how that the church is held up in the highest regard in the New Testament, there's no way they could say that. Beloved, when I offer this to you, that when you turn to Matthew the 26th and 27th chapter, and you see there Jesus Christ being scourged till his back was running red with blood, when you see them laying upon him the cross of Calvary and dragging it through the streets and stumbling himself, you see the women and all lying along the streets that were weeping, and Jesus says, why weep you now? You see him on his way to be nailed to the cross. The most cruel death that a person could die at that time was Roman crucifixion. But now you stand in that crowd on the side of the street, and as he drags it by you, you say, hey, what on earth are you doing this for? He says, I'm doing it for the church. I know that's what he said, because inspiration says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, someone doesn't know what they're saying. If they talk about the church, doesn't mean all that much. If they disassociate it with the salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross, they're way off in left field or some kind of field somewhere. Well, we want to ask the question today, why is belonging to the church so minimized in the minds of people, some people? I've already mentioned it. It's because of serious mal-indoctrination. They have been taught wrong from the scriptures. They have been taught some kind of pet denominational theory. Well, why, you say, would they taught this kind of theory? Because the world and in the religious world is so dedicated to the fact that one does not have to be baptized in order to be saved, that baptism is essential, but the only way under God's Son that you can get in Christ's church is to be baptized. So if baptism is not essential, then the church is not essential. You see? That's what belonging to the church means. And so you can't minimize one without minimizing the other. And so then when baptism is incorrectly rejected as essential to salvation, therefore belonging to the Lord's church is not essential either. There's two views that belonging to the church, the phrase belonging to the church, seem to mean today and the way it's used. It's used in both a strong and in a weak way. It's used in a weak way when somebody puts the word just with it. They just belong. They're not active members, they just belong. In fact, someone was so impressed upon this, and knowing really the right thing, or knowing really what belonging to the church really meant, put it in a poem this way. And I'm sure you've heard the poem, but I'm kind of like my dad here. My dad used to tell certain stories over and over. My older sister, I never could get away with it, but my older sister would say, "Dad, we've heard that before." He says, "I don't care, you're going to hear it again." This poem fits what we have to say, and so I'm going to give it to you again. Are you an active member, the kind who would be missed? Are you contented just that your name is on the list? Do you attend the meetings and do your very best? Or do you stay at home and complain about the rest? Do you take an active part to help the work along? Or are you satisfied to be the kind that just belong? Do you ever go and help them reach a goal? Or leave the work to just a few and never reach a soul? There's quite a program scheduled, which I'm sure that you've heard about. And we'd appreciate it if you too would come and help us out. So come to the meetings often and help with hand and heart. Don't be just a member, but take an active part. Think this over, member. You know right from wrong. Are you an active member, or do you just belong? The Bible uses the word belong to the church and belong to Christ, but it never uses it in that weak sense. In fact, one of the texts that we have for the lesson today is Mark 9:41. And Jesus says to his disciples there, "If you just give a drink of cold water because you belong to Christ, you will in no wise lose your reward." There the Bible uses it in its strong sense that God knows those that are true to the church and who belong, know what belonging means, and says the least of the acts that you can do in the body of Christ, God knows about. And that's the judgment that's going to be rendered on the day of judgment. Read Matthew 25. "Lord, why can't we enter in?" "Well, insomuch as you did it not unto the least of these, my brethren." Some people didn't even give a cup of cold water. "You did it not to me." So thus then we see that it's going to be used as part of the judgment, part of the principle on the day of judgment. Well, the Bible uses the term then in the strongest sense. In Acts 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Herod stretched forth his hands to do violence to those who belong to the church." I want to tell you something. How much it meant to those people back in those days. Herod wouldn't have stretched forth a finger to do anything to those that never darkened the church door. But he stretched forth a hand of violence, or a hand to do violence, to those who belonged to the church. They were the ones that under the heat of persecution were standing up and saying, "I am a Christian. I belong to the church." When the pagans knocked on his door and was going to put him to death if he did. I want us to note how the Bible really relates belonging to the church in the strongest terms of association in the Bible. Hopefully then when we leave here today that we'll have a better understanding, hopefully, of what it means to belong to the church. Of the way that the Bible uses it in the New Testament. For instance, then, if you belong to the church, you belong to the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 tells us that the church is the body of Christ. It's the spiritual body of Christ on earth. If you minimize the church, you minimize his body. Furthermore, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 22, he is the head of the body. If you minimize the church, you minimize the head connection. You're minimizing your master's overseership of yourself. You see? He is the head of the body, the church. But the church is not essential. It doesn't mean much. Brother, if you belong to the church in the sense that the Bible reveals it, then you know there is one master, one head of the church. And if you're in the church, he's your head and he's your master. And so then if you say you don't have to be a member of the church, you're saying Christ does not have to be your head. You have severed yourself from the headship of Jesus Christ. Now that's what we see, and that's what we know when we come to knowledge of the Bible and what it says. Furthermore, this is where service is performed for Christ. You see, being the spiritual body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, which is the church, is to perform the work of Christ on earth as his physical body did for him when he was on earth. That was his physical body, and he did his teaching, his preaching, and his good benevolent deeds and all through that body. Today, the spiritual body does that. That's why we say sometimes the church is his eyes, his ears, his arms, his legs, or whatever. And so, if the church is not important, the body is not important, then the service in the body is not important. Yet the Bible says, let every member of the body perform its own service. The eye can't say to the nose, the mouth, so on. You have your work to do. But where do you have your work to do? You have it to do in the body. The body is the church, and Christ is the head, where the orders come from. So no longer let us go out those doors and say, well, you know, Christ, yes, but the church, no. That is an old denominational concept that is foreign to the Word of God. Then again, if we belong to the church, we belong to the redeemed of Christ. Now, the Bible says that in the most explicit terms in Acts 20 and 28, that he purchased the church with his blood. If you minimize then the church, you minimize the cross, you minimize the giving of his blood, the purchasing of his blood. And you say, well, that doesn't mean much because the church doesn't mean much. But we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was a poor man. He didn't have much money. But nevertheless, maybe that's why there was prophesied in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah that you shall be redeemed without money. And in 1 Peter 1:18 he says, seeing that you were not redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats or silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So while Jesus was a poor man on earth, he still gave his life. And I can't understand how somebody can praise Jesus and worship and praise God and then deny membership is essential in the body he purchased with his blood. You see? Also, to belong to the church is to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible uses the word church and kingdom of heaven interchangeably in Matthew the 16th chapter. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, you're a member of the church. If you're a member of the church, you're a citizen of the kingdom. They're just different ways of expressing it. The church expresses it where it's the body and Christ is the head. The kingdom expresses it where you're the citizen, he's the king. Now, that's what that's for. Well, then doesn't understand if the church then is the kingdom of heaven and you minimize the kingdom, you're minimizing the king. And if you say that the kingdom is not essential, which is the church, then you're saying the king really isn't essential. You know, it's a conglomeration of stuff that the Satan has put together to try to deceive people. It's like an explosion in a car factory and somebody tries to pick up pieces and put them together that has no blueprint. And so you've got the steering wheel on the back axle and the back axle up where the motor ought to be and the motor in the back. You got all this mess all stirred up because you know there is a motor, you know there is a wheel, you've heard this stuff, and you try to put it together up here and you don't have a blueprint. And that's exactly what people are doing when they minimize belonging to the church. Beloved, to belong to the church according to the Word of God is to belong to the saved of God. For the Bible teaches us in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when these people cried out, "What shall we do in order to be saved?" Peter gave them the correct answer, inspired by the Holy Spirit: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." They gladly did that. Why? They gladly received the word. They said, "That's the word of God. That's it. I wish people could do that today." They gladly received the word of God, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. You read on down to verse 47, and it says, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've got a question. Does God make any mistakes? Does God make any mistakes? If God makes no mistakes, then he adds the saved to the church. Now, I want to make a little clarification here. And that is, we've talked about people have an unclear, misunderstanding idea of really what the church is. Well, you see, that's true, because they have been taught to think in terms of, that's his church, this is my church, this is their church, one church is good as another, and to minimize the teaching of the Bible. Now, when you reduce the church to no more than a fellowship club or a civics club, and someone was serious and came around, I've been a member of the Lions Club, but you come around and you start saying, you know, the Kiwanis Club is better than the Lions Club. It's the only club to be, blah, blah, blah. It's doing this with the Rotary Club. First thing you know, you get the dandruff up, because they're just clubs. And people do not understand that the Lord's church belongs to him, and this is the one you read about in the Bible, and the ones that a lot of people are minimizing in their heart are the ones that belong to men. And beloved, one man-made church is just as good as another man-made church. And I can understand if that's my conception, my thinking of it, and you came around saying this man's church is better than this man's church, it'd probably offend me too. But that's not what the Bible, that's not the light that the Bible presents it in. That God, the church, ecclesia means the called out, the church called out, the saved, the ones that are sanctified. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2. If you're not in the church, you're not sanctified. You've never been set apart, never been purchased with the blood. And that's why when you are sanctified and when you are purchased with the blood, God says, okay, I add you to my church, which means my group of people that are saved. Well, then again, getting close to the finality down here, God, to belong to the church is to belong to the family of God. That's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:15. I write unto you that you behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You minimize the church of Jesus Christ, you minimize the family of God. But the Bible says here, if you're in the church, you're in the family of God. Now, I want to ask again. We ask on the other one, does God make any mistakes when he adds the saved to the church? Now, we ask this question now. If the church is the family of God, how many children does God have outside his family? That hurts, doesn't it? But that's what you have to draw the conclusion on. That if they're saved outside of the Lord's church that he purchased with his blood, which is the family of God, then God's got some children somewhere, not even members of his family. Do you see the ignorance, the appalling ignorance of the religious world on this? Because they have not a faith for themselves, but they've taken something from somebody else that's handed it down in a creed. And the Bible teaches against that. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Well, belonging to the church, also Christians, means you fit. Now, what do you mean by that? Take a lady. She goes downtown. She's moved into a place where she has a new home. And she goes downtown looking for furniture. She knows what she has in her home. She knows what's all around. And she sees here a chair. in the furniture store. And she says to somebody with her, that would fit in my living room. In other words, that belongs in my living room. Well, why does it belong in the living room? Because it goes with everything else that's there. It goes with the decor, goes with the other furniture. And when we belong to the church, it's because we fit. We go along with the decor of God. We go along with His character of holiness. We go along, we read the pattern of the church and say, I fit there. We read the way to be saved and we say, I know that's right. That fits and I fit in there. That's one way the Bible says in Romans 8, our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we're the children of God. God has a decor. God has a way. And we say when we read that, I fit. Now, you won't fit in the world anymore. You were invited to parties in time past. You won't be invited anymore because you don't fit. And if you think you still fit, then there's something wrong with your salvation. Because that's what the new birth is all about, and that's what the word conversion means. And James talks about, think it not strange when others say, hey, you don't go with us on all these wild parties anymore. But if you really mean it, and if you really belong to the church and you really fit, your name won't even come up in their section anymore for their parties. Because your light's shining. And so then, I close with something that we're familiar with. The way I started, belonging to the church, when it's properly understood, is one of the most awesome privileges on earth. And somebody was trying to express that, and they did it well as far as I'm concerned. I remember the first time when I ever heard this hymn sung, I thought it was one of the most beautiful hymns I'd ever heard. Listen to this, and you've heard it many times. We've sung it together. We're part of God's family. That's been born again. We're part of God's family. Where love knows no end. When brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. And when he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again just inside the city when we enter in. Sometimes we laugh together, and sometimes we cry. And sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. And sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. Now, and the closing part that I want to emphasize for us right now is, when you meet Jesus Christ one of these days, would you like to say to Him, would you be able to say to Him, I belong to your church. I was married to you spiritually. I made a vow in the body of Christ to serve you. And you, how would you like to say all of that? Or how would you like to say, I never knew your church. I never did belong. Some people don't belong to church today. They may associate with it, but they don't belong because they don't fit. The reason they don't fit, they've never been converted.